Blog Talk Radio.
It's week 10 of the NFL season. Boy, that fell off really quick. Anyway, that doesn't matter. We are here. We are ready to go. We are ready to bring you all you need to know to get ready for week 10 in the NFL. We are joined today. Our regular co-host, I'll put it this way, our regular co-host, Mike, is on vacation. So he thinks he gets to not be on the show this week. So we are joined today by our special guest co-host, the editor of cover32.com/cowboys, Jeff Magno, live from Texas. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Thomas. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you. I'm glad you were able to come on the show and were able to find the time to be with us here this morning to get ready for football. How's things going for you?
Well, right now in Texas, it's pretty chilly, and I tell you what, it's going great. You know, there's always time to talk football, so I really appreciate you allowing me to be here this morning. And you know, hey, we got a lot to talk about, and that's always a good thing.
That's for sure. Before we get started too much, I want to remind everyone that we are brought to you in part by Matt Govendo. For professional financial advice regarding retirement planning, investments, and life insurance, contact Matt and receive a complimentary planning analysis. Call him today at 315-671-1864, and he'll get you ready for your financial future. And if you'd like to join the conversation here on the show, the number to call in is area code 347-637-2812, and we'll take your questions, we'll take your comments. It'll be great. It'll be awesome. All right. Bunch of stuff going on around the NFL this week. The first thing, of course, as always, there was a game on Thursday night. That game that was not without controversy. Controversy for the wrong reasons, I guess. The uniform colors.
Don't coach.
I don't know if you saw this, Jeff, and we didn't talk about this prior to coming on the air. I hope it was a very mild controversy, because I didn't see a ton of it on social media after the fact. During the show, there was people talking about how it looked like, you know, during the game, people said, oh, it looks like Christmas out there, this and that. But there were some people, a very small amount, saying, well, what about the colorblind? How are they supposed to watch this show? If you were green, red, colorblind, apparently it was really tough to watch. Now, I'm not green, red, colorblind, so I don't know. But I can't imagine that's a large portion of the population, so I don't know how much of a controversy that was. I will say
this. I don't know.
Yeah, I will say this. I didn't hate the uniforms. They were fine. Whatever.
Well, here's my take on it. It's funny that you mentioned that, because in my notes I mentioned the same thing about, you know, I know what the NFL's trying to do, but they kind of didn't take into the fact, you know, that there are some people who, you know, I watched a video, and basically it was gray on gray for the colorblind. That's what they saw. And here's my take on it. I know what the NFL's trying to do is, you know, trying to add some splash. Yeah, they're trying to add some spice to the NFL game. But in my opinion, and then take this with a grain of salt, because I've got, you know, I got a semi-professional football background, like we talked about earlier, and it looked like two semi-pro teams, and it looked like just one team couldn't afford the away jerseys, which, unfortunately, that happens in the semi-pro football game. So
right.
To me, that's what it looked like. It looked like, oh, you know, the Buffalo Bills couldn't afford white jerseys, so that's what that's what they're wearing right now. So
yeah,
you know, that's what I thought of. But other than that, you know, the uniforms do look nice. You know, it's a nice take.
I'll say this: I'm not a big fan of monochromatic looks. I don't like the red shirt, red pants kind of thing, or green shirt, green pants. Either way,
right.
But other than that, I really do like the color on color. Thought. I think that was really cool to have both teams wearing color instead of one team wearing white. Again, I'm not red, green, colorblind, so I didn't have that issue. Right. Although, whatever, that was a smaller issue. but the game itself was actually a pretty good game. I had, obviously not on air because we don't pick the Thursday night games, but I had picked Buffalo to win. I felt like they were going to – here's my take on these two teams. Both of them are pretty good defensively.
Right.
And I just feel like when you're close defensively, you've got to look at the other side of the ball, and Buffalo just got more skill position players all over the field. Like, obviously the Jets have Brandon Marshall, but I like Buffalo's running backs better. I like Buffalo's secondary receivers maybe a little better. I know Decker's pretty good, but I also, you know, I like Robert Woods over there. So I wasn't surprised to see them win. I knew that Rex Ryan would be super motivated to win that game, for sure. And it looked like he had his team ready to go, and they were able to get the job done for him. So good for Buffalo.
Well, that's the one thing that the Buffalo Bills, that was their secret weapon, was Rex Ryan. Because Rex Ryan, he knows those players very well, a lot more than any other coach. You know, if they weren't a Jets coach with him, he knows those players so well that over the next, you know, few seasons, it's going to be a great matchup between the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills because of the fact that Rex Ryan had been there for so long. The Bills, they played very well defensively. You know, they had a couple of breakdowns, but they ended up putting it together towards the end. And, it really made a difference, their offensive, as, you know, getting everything together.
You can't really overstate the fact. This is a pretty big game with a lot of playoff implications. These two teams are really fighting to try to stay alive in the wild card race. They're both 5-4 now. If Buffalo had lost, they would have been 4-6. It would have been a little more difficult in this AFC to stay alive. You've got undefeated New England, undefeated Cincinnati, one loss to Denver. You know, if you're playing in the AFC South, you feel pretty good. I still think Jacksonville has a shot to win that division if they're able to play a little better, mature down the stretch with their young players. But Oakland's a good team at 5-4. Now you and the Jets are 5-4. If you're Buffalo, Pittsburgh Steelers are 5-4. There's a lot of teams vying for those two wild card spots that are going to come available. And I think this is a really, really big game for Buffalo to win because it really helps their chances of making the playoffs down the stretch. And that's something they haven't done, Jeff, since 1999.
Wow, that's a long streak.
Yes, they are over the millennium. Their last playoff game, I don't know if you know this, their last playoff game was the Music City Miracle game where Frank Weich threw the kickoff. He took the kickoff and then lateraled it across the field. Of course, everyone in Buffalo will tell you that that was a forward pass, illegal, and should have been flagged. But that was their last appearance in a playoff game back in 1999. And I can't even remember. Was Rob Johnson the quarterback then? I can't even remember.
Rob
That's how
Johnson,
long ago.
Actually, Doug Flutie had led them throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And then the night before that game, Wilson, what's the owner of the Buffalo Bills?
Ralph,
owner's
yeah.
name. Ralph Wilson.
Ralph Wilson.
Met with Phillips, the head coach at the time, and they made the change the night before the playoff game, and Rob Johnson was inserted. And, well,
all in all, I mean, if you look at it, though, I mean, you can look at it in hindsight, they should have won the game. He won
should've.
The game. Rob Johnson won the game. Their special teams somehow lost it for him on the last kickoff. But there's that. That's fine. That is what it is. That's old news. And I don't know if you know, I'm originally from the New York area, Syracuse, New York, Central New York. There's a huge Buffalo Bills contingent there. I got a lot of friends who are really loving that we're talking about that game right now from 16 years ago. We could talk Super Bowls, but we won't do that. Jeff and I are both Cowboys fans. We both write about the Cowboys. So we won't talk Super Bowls with the Bills fans. We'll keep it easy.
Oh, no. All right. We'll be nice to y'all this morning. We'll let the coffee kick in first.
That's for sure. Other news and stuff, other news and notes going on around the league. Let's see what we got today that's good. Well, obviously the NFL's reaction to what happened in Paris is very important. Just a huge tragedy. It's really a sad event. Obviously, everyone knows, I'm not going to go into it. This isn't a news program.
Right.
Everyone knows what happened over there in France and how awful it was. And I'm not going to give a whole lot of opinion or commentary on it. But what I will say is what the NFL is doing. Today, they will be holding a moment of silence before, I believe, every game. And also, there's going to be some increased security at the NFL stadiums. If you've been to an NFL stadium recently, within the last couple of years, you know about the bag policy, and you got to have the clear bag and all that stuff.
Right.
But they're going to be bumping it up a little bit more. Let's see. I'm going to pull open their bag policy now. Bags that are clear plastic, vinyl, or PVC, which do not exceed 12 by 6 by 12, which is what it was before, and 1 gallon or a 1 gallon clear plastic freezer bag. You can have, if you're, you know, for the ladies or even, I don't know, you can have like a small clutch bag. An exception will be made for medical necessity items after proper inspection at gate, designed for this purpose. So it doesn't look too different, but they're definitely going to beef it up a little bit. I know they even did that. I went to the Hall of Fame game a couple of years ago, and it, you know, that was back before they renamed the stadium Tom Benson Stadium, when it was called Fawcett Stadium there in Canton, Ohio.
Right.
And it was very, even in that environment, it was very, the stadium security, the bag check process was still in place for the NFL. So it's very uniform, very standard. The NFL usually does pretty good at those kinds of things. I've been to several NFL games. I've never felt anything but safe while there. Except for in Cincinnati, those guys got drunk and they were getting really rowdy.
Well, the only time I didn't feel safe at an NFL game is we went to the Thanksgiving game, and well, there was a lot of Eagle fans, and well,
oh yeah,
you never feel safe around Eagle fans. Yeah, no, joking aside, there was very.
It's interesting you bring it up. Did you see the story? Now, it kind of went viral a little bit after the game about a Cowboys fan knocking out an Eagles fan.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Okay, so it turns out the guy wasn't a Cowboys fan. He was an Eagles fan, and these guys were brothers. It was three brothers who came to the game. They're all Eagles fans. A legitimate argument, and one of them knocks the other one out, and then they're getting arrested, and I think the third brother is like spitting on the cops, and it was awful.
Oh wow,
Eagles fans, people. I'm just kidding. Any fan base has those types of people in it. It's tragic and unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Eagles.
I felt really safe at the games. You know, security was great. Despite all the, you know, we got great fans. You know, with the Cowboys and, you know, even the Eagle fans. I give y'all props, man. Y'all are some dedicated fans.
Stick with that team no matter what.
You love your team. And, you know, my hat goes off to you guys. So,
yeah, good enough.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to talk about some key injuries today going on. Just kind of talk about some early games. We've got Rashad Perriman of the Ravens. He's out again. Eddie Royal once again will miss. Sean Lee for the Dallas Cowboys is out today.
Yes.
With his concussion, DeMarcus Ware also out for the Broncos. Rasheen Mathis, they're listing him as out. I just saw a thing come across. Rasheen Mathis has been placed on injured reserve, so his season is now over due to a concussion. So that's pretty bad, right? Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Prince Amukamara and Victor Cruz will again miss. Victor Cruz is yet to make his season debut. Larry Donnell is out for the Giants as well. James Harrison will not play today for the Steelers, and Vincent Jackson will miss again, as will Jason McCourty, and Kendall Wright for the Titans will not play today. Players that you should keep an eye on if you've got them, especially if you've got them on your fantasy team. Alshon Jeffrey, although it looks like he's going to make it a go. Rolando McClain is expected to play today. Alan Hearns is expected to play. Ben Roethlisberger is going to suit up. He's going to be the backup to Landry Jones. See who else. Matt Forte will not play today, as far as I can tell. From what I'm hearing is that he won't play. Teddy Bridgewater is expected to play. Latavius Murray should play. Emmanuel Sanders is as much of a game time decision as anybody has ever been. If you believe the people that I listen to and look for this stuff for, looks like he may not go today with the ankle. All right. So there we go. Josh McCown's not going today. What?
Yes, I was just fixing to ask. Did you say mention Josh McCown because Texas A&M alumni and Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Manziel will get the start today. So,
second in a row,
and it's going to be interesting to see how Johnny Football handles back-to-back starts, considering he really hasn't been dipped into the NFL, so to speak, as far as getting starts. He's been a backup, but,
right.
you know, it'll be interesting to see.
We talked about this last week, actually, kind of at length with Johnny Manziel. And I, you know, so I don't want to go too far into it again, but Mike, our regular co-host, and I both believe that they're handling Johnny Manziel all wrong, especially at this point. You're talking about a team that's not really fighting for much right now. They're definitely, last year you could make a point, okay, they were in, at one point they were 7-4. They were in playoff contention with Brian Hoyer. So you can say, okay, that's fine. You guys have got a shot to make the playoffs. You don't want to make the switch to the young guy. Totally understand it. This year, they are out of it. I don't see any way that they're going to make the playoffs. So now, why would you not just go ahead and say, okay, thank you, Josh. We're going to switch over to Johnny to see what we have because we're going to have another high draft pick. Johnny Manziel, not for nothing, is, you know, he's a guy who has some talent. He puts people in the seats and people want to see him. So you would want to put him out there, see what you have, and see whether or not you can build with this guy or if you need to move on quickly and go another route. So that's where we were at last week, and I haven't changed at all. I really believe in, you know, if it were me, I would be saying, okay, look, rest of the season, Johnny Manziel's a starter, and we're going to go from there, and we're going to see what we got.
I feel the same way. I mean, let him play, see what he's – you know, capable of doing. If he's able to lead this team to some victories. Plus, here's the other thing, you know, it gives time for Josh McCown to heal up and everything. He's got a rib injury right now. But the other thing is, you know, the Browns can decide at the end of the season, okay, Josh, we're going to stick with you and we're going to trade Johnny Manziel or the other way around. You know,
or,
they can see what their options are.
Or neither of you are our future, and we're going to go ahead and grab one of these young guys, a Connor Cook or whoever it is out of the draft, a Christian Hackenberg, whatever you want to do. But that's exactly right. You want to be able to evaluate them. And the thing of it is, right now, even if they don't win, you can at least look at him and say, okay, he can play against NFL talent. We've got something here. That's where we're going to go.
Right.
All right. That's going to do it for segment one. When we come back, we're going to start talking fantasy, hot or not. We're going to tell you who to start, who to sit, who you can pick up off your waiver wire, that kind of stuff, right after the break, right here on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com. to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Hey, NFL fans, be sure to join Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, it's the NFL Standard. I can't miss for every NFL fan.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the Edge, fanupnetwork.com.
Rumors spreading around, United Texas town. About to check outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know.
All right, everybody. We are back on Assignment Football here on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. That, of course, is LaGrange by the great ZZ Top. That Texas town. Anyway, so we're back. Good stuff. Good guitar work there. The first song, obviously, if you didn't recognize it, just want to make sure you know, it was When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin. Kind of how I feel about when Tony Romo comes back. When the levee breaks, y'all better look out.
Amen.
Here comes Tony. And, of course, before we get into our fantasy football segment, I want to remind you that we are brought to you by FanUpNetwork.com. Go to FanUpNetwork.com today to sign up for the free FanUp Network app. Simply register at FanUpNetwork.com and follow the instructions for your platform, whether it be Android, iPhone, or Windows. And FanUp Network will help you dominate in all of your fantasy leagues. You can keep track of all your players and teams in one place. You see real-time player news and receive expert fantasy advice. So go to FanUpNetwork.com and sign up today. And follow them on Twitter. Their handle is at FanUpNetwork. So here we go, fantasy hot or not. Kind of getting down to crunch time in the fantasy football world. The 5 or 6 weeks left in your fantasy football season is trying to get into playoff position, or if you're already there, trying to stay in playoff position. So you're looking for those late season guys. Inevitably, every year there's a guy who comes on last half of the season, has a monster year, will carry a team to a championship in your fantasy football league. Kind of the opposite of that this year so far has been Devontae Freeman in the first half. Sometimes those guys will kind of tail off. I don't know that Devontae Freeman's going to be that guy that tails off, but this is the time to start looking on those waiver wires to see the guy that's going to help you win your league. Jeff, who do you like today in particular as a fantasy play for the guys out there in Radioland?
Well, let's start talking about quarterbacks. What do you think?
Okay, I'm good with that.
Right now, I'm a big Cowboys fan, don't get me wrong, but right now I've become a Derek Carr fan.
Oh, man.
He has become the epitome of what Al Davis has always wanted in a quarterback, and that's just throw it vertical, throw it long, and make plays. Right now, Derek Carr is a hot fantasy football quarterback. This week, he's projected to make over 20 fantasy points, and I can see it with the, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree catching balls like they are. Derek Carr, he's showing that he is the real deal. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Yeah, we love Derek Carr on this program. We've talked about him since the preseason about how this could be a really big year for him. I like him. If he's available in any of your leagues, and I think he is still available in a bunch of leagues, to be honest with you, because I just don't think a lot of people have caught on to it. But Derek Carr is having a sneaky good fantasy football season. He's got tons of weapons, like Jeff was just mentioning. He's got guys all over the field. This Clive Walford, the young tight end, he's starting to catch touchdowns for him. You got Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, Andre Holmes, who Jeff and I both know from the Dallas Cowboys practice squad a couple years ago, has been pretty good for them. He's got a great running game with Latavius Murray. He's got Marcel Reese out of the backfield. His line has been protecting him. He's not getting sacked like they've just made so many improvements in Oakland to me that's what you've got to look at a guy like that. Who I like to, you got, we were talking about this just a minute ago. We had matchups, and this is staying with quarterbacks. We've got a matchup of young backups in the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. You've got Johnny Manziel on one side, but on the other side of the field, you've got Landry Jones, young quarterback out of Oklahoma. He's been with the Steelers now for, I think this is his third season there. Got a little bit of play earlier in the year when Michael Vick went down when he was filling in for Ben Roethlisberger. And in that game, and in the last week's game when he came in, he looked really good. He's got a really nice connection with Martavis Bryant. He's got Antonio Brown. He's got D'Angelo Williams. He's got Heath Miller. He's got an established offensive line. He's got a team around him. I like Landry Jones today, and I like him especially considering he's going against Cleveland's defense, which, despite the fact that they've got some good young players, they just aren't a good unit. They're particularly against the run, but they also can give up really big plays in the passing game, and I don't know that they have anyone who's going to really be able to cover both Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. So I like Landry Jones a lot today. If you're desperate for a quarterback, he's probably available in your league. You may want to go ahead and take a look at him and pick him up for today's game.
Oh, he definitely would be a good pickup, especially if he's throwing the Antonio Brown all game. I mean, you know, Brown had that monster game, what was it, last week?
Yeah, 284. Crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely know that. I was the benefit of those fantasy points. So, you know, just keep throwing to Antonio Brown all game, and I'll be a happy camper. But, you know, some other quarterbacks
sure.
I like, Andy Dalton, man, he's having a heck of a season. They play Houston on Monday night, and, you know, I am from Texas, and I'm supposed to root for the Texas teams, but I'm sorry, Texas.
Not that one.
Get eat up. Andy Dalton is going to eat y'all alive.
Yeah.
Plus, he loves playing in prime time. You know, that's his thing. You know, it seems like every time a big time player is, you know, playing in prime time, their game just goes up a little bit more. I see Andy Dalton having a huge night Monday night.
Yeah, and again, you know, Andy played his college football in Texas. I'm sure there's some motivation there for that as well, playing against the Texas teams. I think it'd be a little bit more if he was playing in Texas, but, you know, just seeing as the local boys, as it were, coming to town, that might kick him up a notch. And I'll tell you, you know, people might be thinking about that, well, Andy Dalton's not available in my league, but there's some leagues that he's available in, not very many, but there's some owners out there who, like, I have a guy in one of my leagues, he's got Phillip Rivers and Andy Dalton, and he struggles with who to play because they both have played pretty well. You may be able, if you've got somebody, if you've got a position of strength on your team, you may be able to go out and get Andy Dalton from that guy if you need a quarterback and say they need a wide receiver and you've got five really good ones or four really good ones.
Right.
So I would say look into that. Also, today, for today's game, for wide receivers, speaking of that, couple of really nice plays, I think. Rashad Perriman is not going to play. Obviously, Steve Smith is out for the year. Kamar Aiken for the Baltimore Ravens could have a pretty good game today. They're playing against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's okay, but not great. So you got to throw the ball to somebody, right? So
right.
I think it's going to be Crockett Gilmore, Kamar Aiken. So if you've got a wide receiver spot you want to fill, you're desperate for a wide receiver, Kamar Aiken's a good play there. The other guy I like is out of Chicago. Eddie Royal's not playing today. Alshon Jeffrey is in, but they're going to need a secondary receiver. And when Royal doesn't play, that has fallen to Marques Wilson.
Right.
They're against St. Louis, has really good corners. But, again, you're going to get some points out of your wide receivers no matter what. And Jay Cutler sad to say, I mean, they're not a horrible team. They're certainly not as bad as I thought they were going to be this year. But
right.
This might be Jay Cutler's best year. It's certainly in Chicago. He's having a really good year. He's not turning the ball over as much. I think Adam Gase has really helped him out there in Chicago. I think John Fox has been helpful for him in Chicago. So I think the new system, all that stuff has helped Jay Cutler, and now Jay Cutler will in turn help Marques Wilson have a big day. I expect him to have somewhere in the range of 60, 65 yards, a touchdown, maybe two touchdowns, because that's the kind of player that he seems to be in limited action so far.
I'm interested to see how Allen Robinson's going to how he's going to do after having 121 yards last week against the Jets. Now, you know, they're playing against Baltimore. I anticipate him having 10 plus points than fantasy. But, you know, you never know with fantasy.
Yeah,
but I expect Allen Robinson. I want to see him have another good game. It's like I said, it'll be interesting to see how he reacts after having that 121 yards because, you know, it's Jacksonville. They go up, they go down, they go up, they go down. Then they stay down for a while, unfortunately. But, you know,
yeah.
I think they'll do well, though, and Robinson's going to have a nice game. He's not going to have game, but he's going to have a nice game.
Right. That's another situation where I look at Jacksonville as kind of like a team that was where Oakland is last year. They're just not quite there yet, and if they get a couple more pieces in this next offseason, they could be a team that starts to really challenge Indy in that division. I love their wide receivers. I love Allen Robinson. I think he could be a really good play today. Also, Allen Hurns is going to play despite the fact he's got a sore foot. This guy seems a bit of a warrior. You can't really keep him off the field. No. Hurns has had a bunch of good games this year, some really big numbers he's put up. The other guy who's coming back from hamstring for them is Marquise Lee. So you've got some really nice wide receiver plays there. Like I said, that's another team with those three guys, Julius Thomas, T.J. Yeldon, Blake Bortles. They've got a nice young nucleus of offensive skill players. They need a little bit more help on the defensive side. They need a little bit more help on the offensive line, and then they could be a pretty good team in another year, maybe 2 years, where you're talking about, okay, this is the year that Jacksonville really turns the corner. Now, so that's where I'm thinking with them as far as the wide receivers go. I like your Allen Robinson play. Running backs are just so tough right now. It's just so tough because at this point, everyone's pretty much established, so you're just kind of looking for an injury. You've got one of those with Chicago. Matt Forte's out. If you're able to get Gerald Langford after what he did last year, you want to go and try and do that. It's going to be difficult. Last week. He had 121 yards last week. He was the absolute workhorse. It's going to be Jeremy Langford all day long against St. Louis. Now, the opposite side of that is St. Louis's front seven is about as good as a front seven as there is in football. So if you've got Jeremy Langford, he may have a little bit of tough sledding today. You might want to look for like a different play, a different option. James Starks is clearly the starter, will play today for Green Bay. Their matchup against Detroit is much more favorable for James Starks than the matchup against St. Louis for Jeremy Langford. Any thoughts on running backs, Jeff?
Well, I feel sorry for the people that had Arian Foster and Le'Veon Bell and Deion Lewis. There's a friend of mine in the fantasy league I'm playing in right now. They seem to pick those players, and they just seem to be posting it week in and week out. Uh-oh, there's another one. Uh-oh, there's another one. Going on? So, you know, injuries are running amok right now. I mean, if you're a running back, you can't sneeze the wrong way because you're going to pull something. But,
James it's bizarre world, though, because McFadden hasn't gotten hurt yet. Knock on wood. I just knocked on wood. Okay.
Knock on wood. I did a sign of the phone. He's my starting running back. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Doug Martin, though, going to play against our Cowboys. I don't know. He's
our guys can't tackle, Jeff.
Yeah, I know, unfortunately. Doug Martin may have a career game, unfortunately, with the way the Cowboys. I mean, last week we couldn't tackle for anything, and Doug Martin hasn't had two good games last couple of weeks. So it'll be interesting. I'm anxious to see how Martin does. Of course, I hope he trips at the line of scrimmage and we give tackles left and right. But that's not going to happen, but, some sit-ems, though, some guys to sit.
Yeah,
Alfred absolutely. Blue. Alfred Blue against Cincinnati.
They're too good.
Ronnie Hillman against Kansas City. Hillman out of the Broncos. Sit him.
Yep.
He's not going very far.
Yeah, that's good.
And, Duke Johnson with the Cleveland Browns. They're playing Pittsburgh. He's doing okay, but not against Pittsburgh. They're
certainly not a reliable play. Here's the thing. Yeah, Jeff was talking about all these injuries, which has made it difficult for running backs. Because you're talking about like all of the premier running backs, basically. I had this conversation with a friend of mine earlier this week. It's just all these guys that you were picking high: Le'Veon Bell, Jamaal Charles, Eddie Lacy's too fat to play. I mean, they're just all gone. So I mean, who are you going to take? I mean, if you took Adrian Peterson, you feel awesome right now because, hey, he may not be having the absolute AP year or the AD year. But he's played well enough that he's one of the best running backs in the league for sure. He's still very good, and he gets that production out, on a week-by-week basis, he may blow up for 150 yards. But for the most part, these guys are just – they've dropped like flies, and now you're kind of looking for scraps. So that's where we are in fantasy right now. But never fear, folks. The playoffs are coming. You're gonna make that push. You just go on and pick up some of these guys I told you about today. Maybe they'll have – oh, and by the way, wide receivers – if you saw last week's game against Philadelphia, if you absolutely need a wide receiver, last one, and I know Jeff will agree with this, he looks to have finally figured – well, the quarterback finally has figured it out with him, Cole Beasley. Mm-hmm. He's available. Yeah. He's available in a lot of leagues, and this guy is a – he's always open. He finds a way to get open. He's a small guy. He's crafty. When you hit him on a short route, he tends to take it for at least – 6 or 7 more yards after contact, or after he makes the first guy miss. So Cole Beasley is a guy who could get another 100-yard game. He might get another touchdown or so. But that was a career game for him last week.
There's another one out there that's open that many don't think about right now. Wes Welker.
I got to see him play one time. But he could have a huge day, obviously. I think Wes is a really great player, and obviously that's a guy who's who Beasley's compared to a lot. I don't find them to be very particularly similar, just because I think, you know, Welker's more like that muscle hamster kind of guy. He's a little bit more beefy than Beasley is. But I love Wes Welker, one of the great slot receivers in the history of this game, and he is back with the St. Louis Rams. So hopefully for him, he's able to stay healthy. That's my only big concern with him, because he's had so many concussions. You just don't want him to go back to push his way back onto the field and have something horrible happen for him, because he really, you know, you wonder about a guy like that kind of taking his health into his own hands. So, but the Rams felt he was good enough, healthy enough, and gosh darn it, they like him. So here comes Wes Welker.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about our midseason awards. Jeff and I will hand out awards, and I know the players and coaches are eagerly awaiting to hear what Jeff and I have to say about their seasons so far. So we'll be back on the other side to talk about that right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend and college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours, because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Hey, football fans. Looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
Thank you.
everybody. We are back on Assignment Football here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. And, of course, that was the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan with Pride and Joy. What a great tune. What a great guitar player. If you're unfamiliar with Stevie Ray Vaughan and you like blues guitar, well, then you're not unfamiliar with Stevie Ray Vaughan. If you like blues guitar and you're unfamiliar with Stevie Ray Vaughan, I don't know what you're doing with your life. I really don't.
Exactly.
great Texas blues man, Stevie Ray Vaughan. All right, so there we are. So now, here we are. It's week 10, so we've gone through week 9. Every team in the league has played at least 8 games now.
All right.
A couple teams still need their bye. So some of these teams have played 9 games. The Jets and the Bills just played their 9th game. So no one's played more than 9. No one's played less than 8. So what better time to do our midseason award? Who have we seen out there? And I'm having a little bit of trouble with one of them, and I'll let you know what it is, because I don't know who to do. So I think it's going to be kind of a last second. But we're going to go over our midseason awards. Jeff and I will give you the guys who we think are on track to win these awards at the end of the season, but certainly deserve them as of right now. So first I'm going to start with MVP, because I think that's going to be the easiest one, don't you, Jeff? I mean, who is your MVP pick?
Everybody says that's the easiest one, but here's my take on it, okay?
Okay.
Because
yeah,
the media and everybody else has really forgotten quickly about preseason mayhem called Deflategate. And that was all last season and everything. I'm sorry, that's been on my mind. And the fact that he got out of suspension, you know, that's not cool with me. You know, Tom Brady is having a good year. He's leading a lot of stats. But, you know, if you're going for the cream of the crop, the good boy, the redhead that is leading the league and leading a team, I'm thinking Andy Dalton. He's leading them to undefeated football right now. He's got the second best quarterback rating behind Brady. You know, the kid is playing good. He's 18 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 2,226 yards, you know, 111.0 quarterback rating. You can't mess with that. That's good football. And he's not involved in any type of pass problems. Now, you know, the thing that I want to see, though, out of Andy Dalton is – I want to see him get through the playoffs and do very well. If he can do that, he can get that monkey off his back, and he can definitely earn and be the MVP of the year. I mean, he's so good. I think the great coaching legend Paul Brown would be proud of him.
I'm sure he would, especially with the season that he's had. I like that pick. I was really expecting you to kind of be on my same frame thought and think Brady, because it's just Brady. I think that Brady's the MVP. I understand that you're talking about the Deflategate stuff, but it doesn't count because it's Tom Brady. So we don't talk about that anymore. That's over. We don't bring up the past with Tom Brady. We move forward and bask in the warm glow of Tom Brady's greatness in the NFL. And that's the thing. It's Tom Brady, the year he's having, he continues to have it, which there's no reason to think that he won't. He's going to win the MVP, and he would be my MVP right now anyway. I really like your pick of Andy Dalton. I don't think Dalton's going to get a lot of love for it, but he's having a great year, especially a guy who's had so much kind of negative things said about him as far as his playoffs go and all that stuff. And I think that might be what keeps him from winning the MVP, because obviously that's voted on before the playoffs. So
people
say, yeah, but he's never won in the playoffs. So and even though it's a year-to-year award, on certain guys we have to see it happen on the other side of that before we're going to give him that kind of regular season love. So there's that.
Exactly.
This is the one that I'm struggling with, okay, because I don't generally like, to me, most years, unless you have a player who has a huge statistical season, the MVP is going to be a quarterback almost every year.
Almost.
But the Offensive Player of the Year award kind of was designed so that, okay, so that's fine. MVP is a quarterback. What other offensive player do you like other than a quarterback? And this is the one I'm struggling with, okay? Because there's not that one guy out there who's just tearing it up. So I don't know who I'm going to pick. I mean, I have an idea, and it's kind of going to be kind of a weird one. But go ahead, Jeff, and tell me who your offensive player of the year is.
Well, I dug through, and I went through, and I actually went through the fantasy football stats first to pick this player. I dug through, and I was like, okay, you know, he's not overwhelming with his rushing. He's not overwhelming with his pass receiving. But Devonta Freeman has become a solid player. He's not just a running back. He's not just, you know, a pass receiving running back. He is the whole package. Marshall Faulk has been brought up in is the same sentence as this guy. He is the complete package. Faulk, you could throw it to him, he can run it, he could block. Devonta Freeman, he's a dual threat. The record really isn't showing what his talent has done, but his numbers are certainly there. He's got 721 rushing yards, 420 receiving yards, 11 total touchdowns so far. So for me, it makes him a perfect candidate for offensive player of the year.
All right, so I'm not crazy, because that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, I'm just crazy. There's no way it's Devonta Freeman. Well, that's who I have too. Devonta Freeman has been an absolute force, kind of from out of nowhere, really, because, I mean, even at the beginning of the year, we were talking, you know, Tevin Coleman, oh, what a year he's going to have. He's going to be great in this offense and all this stuff. And Devonta Freeman, Coleman got an injury early, and Devonta Freeman has basically just kept him off the field for the most part. Freeman has been, an absolute force. All the stats that Jeff mentioned, the 11 touchdowns, all the yards through on the ground, all the yards through the air. He's had huge games. He's really been the driving, the power that has powered them to the lead, not the lead, they're 6-2, but he's powered that offense to a point where I didn't think they were able to go. And they've just been fantastic. So he's taken a lot of pressure off Julio Jones. He's taken a lot of pressure off Matt Ryan by being able to run that ball. All right, so we'll move now to defensive player of the year. Jeff, who do you like?
Everybody's going to go, do what? But this guy is from San Francisco.
Okay.
And he's basically been the defense for the 49ers. Navarro Bowman has 65 solo tackles, 23 assisted, 2 sacks. Yes, I know DeQuan Jackson of Indianapolis has 5 more tackles, but he doesn't have any sacks. So those 2 sacks nick those extra tackles. I think at this point in the season, Bowman definitely has my vote.
I agree. I don't know that he'll get that kind of consideration just because of the defense that he plays on, but he is an absolutely awesome player. I love Navarro Bowman. Living out here in Hawaii, this is 49ers country. We've got a lot of huge Navarro Bowman fans. He's been one bright spot on that team that has been pretty dismal. My pick for Defensive Player of the Year, however, is someone who actually plays in the same area, the ageless wonder, Charles Woodson, who leads the NFL with 5 interceptions as a 39-year-old safety. Unbelievable. I've seen him run. He ran down Antonio Brown last week at 39 years old. 39! He should be retired. But no, he's still playing at a high level. Charles Woodson, to me, has been a major force for that Oakland Raiders defense. He is really, kind of man that back end. He still will come up and make tackles. He's a tough guy. He's a durable guy. He, like I said, makes tackles. He's intercepting the football. He's truly one of the greats you've ever seen play. I don't know that he won't play next year at 40, but I'm telling you right now, folks, watch some more Raiders games this year, if only to watch Charles Woodson, who is one of the top 5 safeties, defensive backs, really, to ever play in this game. He is truly a great football player, and you should definitely get a chance to see him before he retires, because it's great. And I think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. I really do. I think he would certainly get my vote, obviously. All right, Offensive Rookie
like
of the Year.
Pick. I like that pick. I do.
Yeah,
I
thank
do.
You.
It's a good pick. I can see Al Davis and you know, Woodson standing side by side and just got his arms around him and everything. Yeah, he's an Al Davis kind of player. So
he is. He's an anybody kind of player. If you don't like Charles Woodson, you don't like football. That's all there is to it. Woodson's just great. He's just great. All right, what do you got? Offensive Rookie of the Year.
This one's pretty easy in my book.
Todd Gurley is just
playing Pac-Man with the yards, man.
Oh, my goodness.
654 yards. He'll hit 1,000 easy. I mean, he's fast. He's elusive. He's making teams who had the chance to nab him, Dallas Cowboys, make them hit their heads on the wall. Because when the Cowboys had their pick.
No, he wasn't there.
Yeah,
he
I know. Yeah. But they could have gone up, you know, they had the opportunity. You know,
Jerry Jones
is such a gambler. I would have taken it because, you know,
I'll tell you what, I don't think Jeff Fisher would have made that trade because I think that was the guy he wanted all along.
I think if
St. Louis would have traded that pick away with Todd Gurley sitting there on the board, I think Jeff Fisher would have quit right then. I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't work for you anymore. And he's absolutely right. This is the guy he wanted, and he was 100% right. Look, he's the first running back taken in the top 10 of the draft since Trent Richardson, and these two stories could not be more different. Gurley missed a few games at the beginning of the year, and just like Jeff said, despite missing those games, he's going to have a 1,000-yard season because he's averaging 120 yards a game. Every game he goes out there, he just puts up monster numbers. He's a big guy. He's a fast guy. He's elusive. He can run over you. He can run around you. He can run through you. He doesn't care. This kid he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He looks like he's okay in pass protection. I really like this guy. Could be, you know, a major. I think, to me, if you're looking at your fantasy football board for next year already, if Todd Gurley's not at the top of it, I don't know what you're thinking because this guy is going to be an absolute monster in this league for a long time. From everything I'm seeing right now, he is easily my offensive rookie of the year. All right, two more awards to go. Defensive rookie of the year. Who do you have, Jeff?
Well, this guy made his case against the Miami Dolphins. Rookie cornerback Ronald Darby. He had 10 tackles against the Dolphins. So right now he's sitting at 47 tackles along with 2 interceptions for the season. He's having a great season, and if he doesn't get this awarded for the end of the year, I'd be very surprised because he's having a heck of a year, and I think he's going to have a very good and long career with the Buffalo Bills. He is going to make that defense more stout than ever.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. I saw Ronald Darby play in the preseason. I said, oh, man, that kid's going to be good. He's going to be good. He picked off a couple passes and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't against like a third stringer. It was against starters. He played with the starters all year. I mean, they knew they were starting this kid from day one, and they were absolutely right on him. Boy, it's weird. Rex Ryan sure can pick corners, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty good with the cornerback.
He's got
some really great DBs in his tenure in the NFL. Devell Revis, Ed Reed, McAllister, this guy Darby. I mean, and Stephon Gilmore on that team is pretty good, too, although he didn't pick that guy. But anyway. I'm going to go a different route. It's going to be a little bit of a homer pick, but I think some interceptions are going to come his way. He's going to make some big plays coming up, and he has been phenomenal for the Dallas Cowboys defense. Byron Jones, rookie corner/safety. If obviously, you know, he doesn't have huge, like I said, no interceptions, none of that kind of stuff, but if you're watching the tape of him playing against guys like Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, he's virtually neutralized. Rob Gronkowski is a force in this league, and he's virtually unstoppable. And Byron Jones drew the assignment of covering him as a rookie against New England Patriots and held him under 70 yards. And it was a Herculean effort. The kid is amazing. He makes some plays. Every game you watch, he'll make one or two plays. You're like, wow, I didn't think he was going to get to that. Man, I didn't think he was going to break up that play. And that's who he is. So the Dallas Cowboys once again absolutely nailed their first-round pick. 3 or 4 years in a row now. Every pick since Claiborne's been an absolute winner. So that's good news. And I think Byron Jones could have a real shot of winning Rookie of the Year. He may need a couple interceptions or some forced fumbles or something like that, but I think Byron Jones has a shot. Okay, who's your Coach of the Year, Jeff?
Well, you could say Cincinnati Bengal coach Marvin Lewis has a shot, but honestly, like I said earlier, I want to see how he gets Dalton to win in the playoffs. My pick is Bruce Arians of Arizona. He's turned that franchise around. They are undefeated like the Bengals and the Patriots. They're not undefeated. But they are playing good.
Yeah.
They got two
division lead. They're leading their division.
He's gotten that offense number three. He's got the defense ranked in the top 10. Carson Palmer is playing extremely well. Chris Johnson, he's found a second win while Larry Fitzgerald is just being Larry Fitzgerald. Add in John Brown. They're putting defensive backfields on notice. I will say this, Cardinals usually don't have high-ranking defense, but Arians went and found defensive coordinator James Betcher, and Betcher has that defense amped up in his first season in D.C.
Yep, I like it. Arians obviously is a former winner of the award. I had this conversation with a friend earlier this year. Boy, is Indianapolis just sitting there going, how do we let Bruce Arians walk out of here?
They're just shaking their head right now going.
I know, for sure. My pick, however, and it's because I believe his team is going to make the playoffs for the first time in forever, very long time, I'm taking Jack Del Rio of the Oakland Raiders. I think Del Rio's got to be on your radar for Coach of the Year. This franchise has been abysmal for a decade, and he's got all these young players, and he's getting them to play. Now they're 4-4, but if they can go 6-2 down the stretch and they get to 10-6, that's a playoff team. Okay, and I think as you watch them, and we'll talk more about them in a minute, but as you watch them, they get better and better and better every week. They should have won that game in Pittsburgh last week. And that's a thing with Raiders teams in the past. East Coast, they're going to lose. And you can't say that about this team this year. Because first of all, they've done it. And B, they're competitive in every game. And if you go to their place, you might not have as much fun as you used to have on your trip to Oakland. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see if they can keep the momentum going, build a little bit more. But I like Jack Del Rio as my Coach of the Year pick. He's who I'm voting for. All right, great segment. Thank you very much, Jeff, for all your picks on that. I really like the Ronald Darby pick. I think that's a really good one, too, even though I think it's going to be Byron Jones. I have faith. Anyway.
Yeah,
all right, we're going to take another break. Okay.
I do got a question for you. Comeback Player of the Year.
Oof. That's tough. At the beginning of the year, my preseason comeback player of the year would have been Sean Lee. That would have been my preseason pick to see who was going to win it. Boy, oh boy. And I know a lot of people say, oh, Victor Cruz. Well, first he's got to come back.
Yes.
So that's not it. Boy, let me see. Who's yours? And then while I think about mine, you got me stumped.
Darren McFadden.
Wow. Okay.
He has not been very, he's been injured a lot in the past with the Raiders. At this point in the season, he's playing solid football. He's got the starting role. He basically pushed Joseph Randle out of the picture and said, see ya.
Yep.
Of course, Randle didn't hurt. He didn't help himself either. But, Darren McFadden is making the best of it out of the situation. He's playing some solid football. I'd give him the award.
Yeah, here's who I would pick, and he won't win it. And there's a reason why he won't win it. I would pick Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
But they're not going to give him that award.
No.
Because of the reason that he didn't play last year. If he had been injured last year and come back and done this, fine. But they're not going to give him an award because he was on the commissioner's exempt list last season and then came back and had a great year. At least I don't think they will. But to me, he's the guy who has had the biggest comeback. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to break down our featured game of the week right here on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Hey, NFL fans, be sure to join Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10 right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, it's the NFL Standard. I can't miss for every NFL fan.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy teams, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
It is Assignments Football, and we are here today for Week 10 of the NFL season with our special guest co-host, Jeff Magna of Cover32.com/Cowboys. We are going to break down our featured game of the week, which will be the Minnesota Vikings at the Oakland Raiders. That, of course, that last song, Remedy by the Black Crowes, kind of unintentionally I've had themes the last 2 weeks, apparently. Last week was kind of a more of a hard rock, heavy metal kind of show, and this week the music has been very much Southern blues rock oriented, even with Led Zeppelin in there. There's definitely a bluesy tune, When the Levee Breaks. Although they're a really great blues band, so
could awesome. It be that your guest host was from Texas and that, you know, that Southern
feel? No thought to that whatsoever.
You got
none of
hearing that Southern draw.
it goes pretty easy, right? I mean, I got LaGrange in there, I got a guitar player from Texas. Now the Crows are from Georgia, but man, do they play some good Southern rock, man. It's awesome. Good stuff. Black Crowes is one of my favorite bands, by the way. If you've never checked them out live, or there's some live recordings out there that are just ridiculously good. Those guys are so – it's really too bad that the two brothers, Chris and Rich Robinson, can't really be in the same room too long.
Right.
they put up a performance. They do. They've done a couple things. Like, they did that one live album with – when it was them and Jimmy Page doing all these old Zeppelin songs, which were – that's just ridiculously good. And then they have another one. There's an album where it's just Chris and Rich. It's called Brothers. It's not the band. It's just the two of them. And it's really cool because they talk, you know, in between the songs and have little stories and stuff like that. It's a really cool thing. But anyway, so, again, I love the Black Crowes. They're awesome. But here we are, week 10, and we've got two young teams, Jeff, the Minnesota Vikings and the Oakland Raiders, who are – maybe a little surprising to some people, the Minnesota Vikings folks are tied for the lead in the NFC North. They are 6-2, and right. They are making some noise here. I'm going to tell you this. The Packers started off the season 6-0, and they looked really, really good. But kind of sneaking up behind them, they look good in spots. Here's what I'm going to say. I don't think the Packers are as good as they were last year. I think that they have some issues on their offense. They can't run the ball as good as they used to.
Right.
And not having Jordy Nelson has hurt them. So I think they might be a little bit vulnerable. The Vikings were a team that we talked about in the preseason. Boy, Mike and I both really liked them. I didn't think they were quite ready to make the playoffs, but I'm going to tell you right now, we just repicked the playoffs last week, and the Vikings were my wild card pick. And in two more weeks, if we do it again, depending on what happens over the next couple of weeks, they might be my pick to win that division. They are really good, and I would be really scared about it. Thankfully for them, Teddy Bridgewater plays today. Because Bridgewater is a big reason for why they are where they are. The kid is, you know, he's not spectacular, doesn't put up great numbers, but he runs that offense efficiently. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's got Adrian Peterson to hand it off to. He's got good wide receivers in Mike Wallace, Stephon Diggs, drawing a blank, it doesn't matter. Kyle Rudolph's there, good offensive line, and a really, really good defense. That defense is really good, and they're pretty young. So talk to me a little about this game, Jeff. What's your opinions on this game? The other one, on the other side of the coin, obviously is Oakland, who we've talked about a lot on the show as a team that we really, really like going forward. And I'm telling you, I think Oakland could make the playoffs as well. I actually picked them in our repick. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of people are thinking, well, this is going to be Teddy Bridgewater versus Derek Carr.
Ooh.
But it's not that. It's not one player versus the other. Because really there's not just that one outstanding player other than, you know, the big name Adrian Peterson. But even now, Adrian Peterson is just a big piece of the puzzle. And it's the Vikings versus the Raiders. Who's going to be the best team? 6-2 Vikings. They're going to go to Oakland. They're going to have to play in that loud old stadium against the 4-4 Raiders. The Raiders offense is, you know, they picked it up. They're ranked eighth in the league right now. You know, Derek Carr, like I said earlier, he's chunking the ball left and right. He's got weapons all over the place. I think this is going to be a pretty even matchup. But here's the most important stat. Now, I'm a big stats guy. But the biggest stat right now is the Raiders are outscoring the Vikings per game 26.6 to 21. That's going to be the difference maker. Who is going to put the ball in the end zone? Doesn't matter if Adrian Peterson has 200 yards rushing him. You know, Derek Carr throws for 400 yards. Who's going to put the ball across the goal line? That's going to be the difference maker. So,
right. I mean, if you got all these yards from the Vikings, but if they're kicking Blair Walsh field goals, I mean, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You don't know. That's not going to be a recipe for success. And like you said, you're not talking about huge stars in this game, obviously you've got Adrian Peterson on one side of the ball, and you've got young stud, absolute stud wide receiver Amari Cooper on the other side.
Yes. So
you've got the guy who the other team has to focus on. Okay.
Right.
Here's what I think. I think that I like the Raiders' offensive weapons maybe a little bit better. I think that their wide receivers are a little bit better. Obviously, you'd give the nod to Peterson and the running back, but not by a ton over Latavius Murray. I think he's kind of quietly becoming one of the better running backs in the NFL. Latavius Murray kind of took that job away from Darren McFadden last year in Oakland, and that's why McFadden was available.
Right.
And McFadden, of course, having a renaissance in Dallas, so thank goodness, you know, both of them worked out great. But Murray's come back this year, and he's backed up that season he had last year with another really good season this year. So I think what this comes down to today, Jeff, kind of to speak to your point about points per game, is which one of these defenses can make more stops against, and they're both pretty good defenses.
Like, yes.
Raiders defense in the past has been not very good, and this year they've been pretty good. Now, the addition of Aldon Smith was kind of big, but he hasn't been making a ton of noise. Mario Edwards Jr., who we know his dad. Mario Edwards, not personally, but Mario Edwards was an excellent player. Edwards Jr. has been good for them. Khalil Mack is excellent for them. We've talked about today Charles Woodson. They've got DJ Hayden. They've got some other young players in the secondary. They've got linebackers. They've got defensive linemen. So they're able to play. But on the other side of the ball, you've got more. You got Harrison Barnes, who's an excellent safety. You got Anthony Barr. You got players along the front for the Minnesota Vikings who are very good. This is an exciting game. Now, if I would have told you before the season, or even going into the preseason, that, man, oh, man, week 10 in the NFL, watch out for that Vikings at Raiders matchup. Most casual NFL fans are like, what are you talking about? That is going to be a dog. This, to me, is the game of the week. It's huge.
It is.
Two young football teams who are fighting for playoff position. These guys, this game is going to be so much fun to watch. young talent, young gunslingers, young quarterbacks, future Hall of Fame wide running back, future Hall of Fame safety. You've got all kinds of great elements, and the atmosphere in Oakland today should be absolutely electric. They finally have a team that they can really root for, who's got a real chance to make the playoffs this year, but they've got to win this game. Oakland has to win this game. They've got to. They can't be 4-5. They've got to be 5-4. If they're 5-4, they're in the number one wild card spot. They're ahead of everybody else because of their conference record. So they've got to win this game. They've got to win this game. But will they do it? That's the thing. Minnesota's going to have a lot to say about that because that's a very good football team that's coming in there to play Oakland. So I'm really excited about this game. So here we are. I like where we're at. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start picking our games. We got six games. Right. This is the pick six segment. Just kind of break it in for you. Before we go further, talking about Oakland, last week our featured game of the week actually was another Raiders game. It was Oakland at Pittsburgh. And we had our guest on, Jesse Kirkendall, who writes for stillcurtain.com, which is a fan-sided site. He is a Steelers writer. Excellent. He was an excellent guest. Fantastic. He came on and he picked the games with us, and that was our featured game of the week. Jesse Kirkendall absolutely nailed his prediction of that game. 100% nailed it. He came out, he said it's going to be a close game, it's going to be a high-scoring game, and the Steelers are going to win 38-35. Go back and look at what the final score of that game was, Jeff. It was 38 Steelers, 35 Oakland. Nailed it. The only way it could have been better is if he would have said Roethlisberger goes down in the third quarter and Landry Jones comes in and wins the game. That's the only way it could have been better.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It's the best prediction we've had all year. Jesse Kirkendall, if you're listening, it's at J Kirkendall, JayKirkendall. Give him a follow if you're a Steelers fan. Guy absolutely nailed his prediction last week, and he deserves props for it. It was great. Might be the moment of the year on pick six. But here we go, pick six. We're going to pick our six games. Mike has been gracious enough to text in his picks from Florida. I hate every one of them just because, well, not every one of them. There's one of them I like. Anyway, so we're going to pick our six games. We have our first game of the week, Dallas at Tampa Bay. Listen, folks, Dallas is 2-6. They must win this game. It's a must win. You cannot go 0 for Romo. You can't.
No.
Romo's gone. You can lose every game. How are you going to make the playoffs? If they win this game, they still got a chance. Jeff, will they win today?
Okay, no team has ever do a win any more than the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh,
and this is Matt Castle's last hurrah at the helm. This is his last chance to say, hey, NFL, I don't suck. I'm not that bad. And he's put up good numbers. But the thing that teams are going to ask him, can you win? Mm-hmm. Because if he decides, okay, you know, I want to be a free agent, you know, he can bounce back and say, hey, look, you know, I did this and did that and got this, you know, beat Tampa Bay. I held it down for Tony Romo, sort of. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is we can't go 0 for Romo, as you pointed out. He has to make his mark right now. Tampa Bay's Jameis Winston, he's playing today, correct?
Yes, Winston's in.
Well, he's Winston.
Doing good.
He's doing good, but he's going to have a lot of Greg Hardy. It's going to be a heavy dose of Hardy. He's going to be a lot of pressure. I say Cowboys win this by 6, 27-21.
Okay. And so there's that. Let's see here. I'm sorry, I just got something come across. Okay, so there's that. I like that pick. Mike picks Tampa Bay because he is a hater. Not really. He's not a hater. He does. He's picking Tampa Bay because he's in Florida, and he doesn't want to get lynched.
Okay.
That's all I can think of. I'm picking Dallas. A lot of the same reasons. Here's the thing. If you look at what Dallas has faced in Romo's absence, they've gone against quarterbacks Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Then they had the bye and came back and faced Eli Manning. Who else did they lose to? Good Lord. If there's so many losses, you just lose track of it. But basically saying, right, they faced some really good quarterbacks, and then they faced Sam Bradford.
Right.
So there's that, who's not that good. I'm sorry, he's just not. And he looks like he lost 100 pounds. But anyway, so today they face Jameis Winston, who's having a good year but is a rookie. This is the first time possibly you could make the argument that maybe Matt Castle might be a better quarterback at this point than the opponent, whether it be Matt Castle or Brandon Whedon. At this point, because I think Winston's going to be a very good quarterback in this league. I just like the way I think he's built for the NFL. But I don't think he's there yet. So you're at least even in that matchup now. You're not going in it. You know. And I think if you look at every other position around the board, the Cowboys win most of those. Cowboys probably right. have, I would say, definitely have more talent than the Bucs do. It's just the way it is. So I'm going to pick Dallas, and that's why. Because I think at the end of the day, they're just a better football team, even without their starting quarterback, than the Bucs are. And I don't think you could say that about a lot of teams. I think you could have said that about New Orleans, but I don't know what the hell happened in that game. I really don't. But anyway, we're going to go on. We're not going to talk about this all day. Miami at Philadelphia. Jeff, who are you picking today? Tell me it's the Finn.
Comparing the two teams, the Dolphins and Eagles are going to match up well. Stats aside, Dan Campbell is not going to let this team lose another game. He will have them so hungry coming out that they're going to have Eagles soup at the end of the game. I'm taking
like
the
it.
Dolphins over the
I
Eagles
like
28-24.
Okay. Mike, of course, is taking Philadelphia because, I don't know, at home, I guess. And I'm going to take Miami as well. I like Miami's young defense. I like Dan Campbell. I like their offense a little bit. I thought Miami was going to be a much better team than they were. I think a lot of it had to do with the head coach and some dysfunction that
right.
went on there. His inability to be an inspiring leader and all that. And Dan Campbell is the exact opposite of that. He is an absolutely inspiring leader. He inspired me when the Cowboys were 5-11. I loved him. All right. Just for those of you who don't know, he played tight end for the Cowboys when the Cowboys weren't very good. He's a Bill Parcells guy. He is one of the guys that Bill Parcells had in Dallas, and he really took to Bill Parcells' teachings, obviously, because he's just a fiery dude. And he's been in Miami since Parcells was there, so that's it.
Right.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next game, Chicago Bears at the St. Louis Rams. Big game for the Rams. They kind of really need to win this game to stay in playoff contention. Who do you have winning today, Jeff?
Well, the Rams are pretty stingy. They're only allowing 18 points per game. So you add in, you know, add that factor in, then you got Todd Gurley who's just running over people. He's going to run the tables today. He's going to get another 100-yard performance. They're going to take this game against Jay Cutler and company, and I think it's going to be 34-17.
Yeah, I like that, too. The Bears, Mike's going to pick St. Louis, I'm sure, for the same reasons. Todd Gurley's going to be an absolute beast. The Bears are going to be without Pernell McPhee, who's a huge part of their interior defense.
Yeah.
So It's just going to be – I don't know how they're going to stop Gurley, okay? The guy's averaging 120 yards a game. The Bears aren't a particularly good defense. And so it just seems like a recipe for disaster for me for the Bears. They're going to St. Louis, but Cutler's been pretty good. Cutler's got Alshon Jeffrey back. He's got Martellus Bennett. So he could be able to do some things in the passing game to maybe try and keep it close. I'm going to go ahead and pick St. Louis. I want to go the other way just because I don't – here's the thing with St. Louis, and I said this earlier too. I don't know who they are. They go and they beat Seattle in week one, and then they lose to the Redskins in week two. Who are you? Who are you? So I don't know. So it just seems to me like – but now that – those two games, that was before Todd Gurley came back. So now they kind of have more of an identity. They're a running football team.
Right.
Tavon Austin's played really well. Nick Foles has been better over the last few weeks. Not that he was horrible at the beginning of the year. I don't know that he was the guy – he's the guy that they thought he was, but that's where it's at. I like the Rams as well just as much as you do. Okay, big game for the Cowboys and the NFC East in particular, the New England Patriots are visiting the New York Giants today. What do you see happening, Jeff?
Well, Eli Manning has had Tom Brady's number in the past. I don't see it happening today. I think Tom Brady, he's gonna push the envelope. He's going to have a big passing game against the Giants who, you know, they start out strong defensively, but it seems like they just always kind of taper off. And I just think, see that happening. I You know, LeGarrette Blount's going to be running the ball for the Patriots. I think he's going to have a good day today, and I think that they're going to continue that winning streak. This one's a bit of a stretch of a score, though. I think it's going to be 35-17. Manning may be able to score more and make it more a little bit closer because of that history, but I'm just going to throw that out there, 35-17 Patriots.
I like it. Well, Mike will pick the Patriots. Mike is a Patriots fan, just so you know. And I'll tell you the reasons why. Motivated Tom Brady. There's no team in this league that he wants more of a piece of than the New York Giants right now. He's exacted his revenge on the Colts already, and now it's these guys again. So he is going to want to destroy this football team today offensively. And here's the reason why I'm going to pick the Patriots as well. And it has nothing to do with their offense. The New England Patriots this season, their defense has gotten no love, and they are really good. Their defense has been really good. Chandler Jones, defensive end out of Syracuse, fifth or sixth year player now, really, he might be the most underrated player in the NFL. He leads the league with 9.5 sacks. So he's played 8 games, and he has 9.5 sacks. Digest that for a moment. He's on pace for a 20-sack season, and no one's talking about him.
Maybe because
his name's not J.J. Watt.
Probably.
If J.J. Watt had 9.5 sacks right now, that's all you would hear is how great J.J. Watt is.
Exactly.
Chandler Jones is as good a defensive lineman as there is in the NFL, and he gets no respect and no love because he's on a team with Tom Brady, and that's all anyone wants to talk about is the greatness of Tom Brady. This defense is really good. They are going to shut down the New York Giants today. I agree with Jeff's score. I think it will absolutely be something in the neighborhood of 30-something to mid-teens. I like 35-17, as a matter of fact. I think that's going to be the exact score. I'm calling it. 35-17, I'm on board with Jeff Magna. It's going to be a destruction in MetLife Stadium. Okay, next. Arizona at Seattle. They go to the Great Northwest to face the Beast, formerly known as the Legion of Boom. What's going on there today?
Well, if you had looked at the schedule at the beginning of the season and you saw Arizona at Seattle for Sunday night football, some people would be like, really?
That's a loss.
Arizona at Seattle, but now this has become a good game. Cardinals, you know, they're 6-2. Seattle, they're struggling. Russell Wilson is the big key driver. He's not been effective like he has been. And, you know, he's only averaging 213 yards per game. I think the Cardinals will win this one. I think it's going to be a good game between the two. Carson Palmer. I think he's going to have a big game. I think he's going to get around 300 yards passing. Mainly because the Legion of Boom is, well, they're not like they used to be. They kind of lost some of that boom a little bit. But they're going to have one struggle, and that's going to be playing in Seattle's home. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but I think it's going to be a good game. I think it was a good selection for a Sunday night football game. But Cardinals are going to continue winning 24-21.
All right. I figure it's going to be close. Mike's taking the Cardinals as well. I'm going to go ahead and take the Cardinals too. Kind of disappointing that I'm doing that. But here's the thing, and this is what I'm going to say. Folks, if you're a Seahawks fan, you have to win this game. This is a must win. If you lose this game, you're 3 games behind the Arizona Cardinals with 7 games to go. That's not good. I am going to pick the Cardinals, however, because here's the thing. I think they're a better football team than the Seattle Seahawks are. The Seattle defense is still pretty good. I'm not going to sit there and say they're not good anymore. They're not what they were, though.
Right.
2 years ago, they were just, forget it. You're not going to Seattle and win. And over the last 3 seasons, they lost a game at home. I think it was against, was it Arizona who beat them the last?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they lost a game in each season so far. They lost to Carolina this year. They lost to Dallas this year at home. This is the year they lose multiple games at home. They're going to lose another game. It's going to be today. Arizona's going to win. Okay, so now here we go. Our featured game of the week, the Minnesota Vikings at 6-2 and tied for the lead in the NFC North, head to Oakland to take on 4-4, the 4-4 Raiders, who are in wild card position coming into the week. Jeff, who you got?
Here's the keys to victory for the Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
Number one, Derek Carr, 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
Second key, contain Bridgewater.
Yes.
All they get, that's the defense has to contain Bridgewater. They got to keep them from scrambling around. They got to keep the ball, they got to get the sacks and keep his yards down passing. Third thing, they cannot let Adrian Peterson kill him. They contain Adrian Peterson. Even if they contain him to 100 yards and keep him from going across the end zone, the Raiders have a chance. I think the Raiders are going to make this a great game, the Vikings-Raiders game. It's going to be Raiders 27-24.
Okay, another close one. I like that pick as well. Mike is taking the Raiders. I think here's the thing. Years past, you're saying, Minnesota, just because it's the Raiders and they'll beat them because the Raiders always lose in big situations. But I don't think that's this team anymore. Oakland looks like a good young team. So here's what I'm saying. I like Jeff's reasons. I think exactly right. You've got to keep Teddy Bridgewater in the pocket. You can't let him outside. He's a bit like Russell Wilson in that regard, that he's better as he rolls out on the move than he might be in the pocket. I think he's a little better in the pocket than Wilson is. Not saying he's a better quarterback necessarily, just saying that I think he's a little better in the pocket. I don't think you can expect to be able to shut down Adrian Peterson, but like Jeff said, I think you can hold him to 100 yards, keep him out of the end zone, and kind of neutralize his effect on the game. And then you just got to cover the guys on the outside at that point. And I think the Raiders might have the better offensive weapons. I've said this already. I like Derek Carr's the guys around him, and I love Derek Carr as a quarterback. I think he may be in a couple more years one of the guys you're talking about is one of the top 10, top 5 quarterbacks in the league. He is so good, and he does not get rattled. He does. If he does make a mistake, he does throw an interception. He rebounds from it. He lets it go. He doesn't let it kill him. He's, you know, an emotional leader. However, he's an emotional leader in a mostly positive way. I've never seen him hang his head, really. The kid is always excited for his teammates. He's a guy who I would love to have on my football team any day of the week. Derek Carr is amazing. What a great player. I think the Oakland Raiders win. I like your pick, 27-24. So there you go, Chris Miller, Lisa Miller, Mike Mitchell, my good friends who are all Oakland Raiders fans. I've got your team winning today again. Many times this year I've picked the Oakland Raiders, and I just think they're a really good football team. All right, guys, that's it for Pick 6. We hope we were able to help you out with fantasy. We hope we're able to help you out with who's going to win, who isn't going to win in these 6 games today. We're about to wrap things up here. We got a couple minutes left. I want to remind you that we are brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. We are also brought to you by FanUpNetwork.com and, of course, Matt Govendo. Give Matt a call. It's 315-671-1864. That's the number to call to get your free financial advice, analysis, rather. The advice call. No, just kidding. Matt's a great guy. He'll help you out. He'll help you get ready for retirement, that kind of stuff. Get your financial house in order. I want to remind you to follow the podcast at AF Podcast. Assignment F Ball. You can follow Mike Mastrolio, our regular co-host, at Mastrolio123. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Semi-Pro Radio. You also do the Cover 32 account, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
That's at Cover32_DAL or Dallas. And you can follow me at Duckman for Real. Read all my stuff at cover32.com, my weekly column there on why the Cowboys, the 5 reasons the Cowboys will win every week. Also, I'm on thelandryhat.com with my what went right, what went wrong after the game on Sunday. And Jeff, right, of course, is the editor of cover32.com. What else can they do? What else do you want to tell them, Jeff?
Hey, just come out, come out to our sites. Thomas, get you some reads. You got good stuff. I appreciate everything you put out. And, come out to the Twitter account as well. I'll be tweeting the game. Because you know, I like doing that during the during the course of the ball game. And plus my comments, you know, my comments, they don't, I don't get offensive, but I do get silly and I have fun with it. And I get a lot of a lot of reactions. So, you know, follow me on Twitter, cover32_DAL. And, you know, let's hope the Cowboys can pull something out today.
All right. Well, I want to thank Jeff for coming on. Really appreciate the, your time this morning. We really thank you for helping us out. Everybody, join us again next week, 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on Simon Football on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Thanks for listening, everybody, and hope your team wins today, unless they're the Buccaneers. Bye.